this morning with a word of prayer, and then we'll get right into our lesson. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning and this time we can be together. Just pray your blessing be upon our Sunday school time and the children also. And Lord, help us to learn much, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we've been going chronologically through the end times, eschatology, the study of end times. And we come now, we've looked at the last few weeks at various things going on during the tribulation period. We've looked at the different judgments and the different people during the tribulation period. But today we're going to begin to look at the prophecy of Jesus' second coming to earth. Okay, and we don't want to, what we're going to do today is make sure we understand the distinction between the rapture and the second coming. So everything we've studied up to this point has been to bring the world to the point of this moment in time when the Lord Jesus will come the second time to earth, okay? So everything that has happened has been to prepare the world for Christ's second coming. And this is called his second advent. He will return to earth again and will stay here as he did some 2,000 years ago to fulfill the many prophetic scriptures that are yet unfulfilled concerning his millennial reign, which is the thousand-year reign. So let's contrast for a moment the first point here. Jesus has returned for his bride, which is the church, and his second coming, okay? And so let's look. This is just going to be a quick review, but a lot of people mix this up. They think the second coming is the rapture. No, that's not true. The rapture is when we meet the Lord in the air. The second coming is when we come with the Lord when he returns back to earth. And they're separated by at least 7 years, okay? So his return for his bride is called the rapture. And his bride will be caught away. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, it says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." So all of the saints from the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, all of the people who have trusted Christ as their Savior, true believers, when Jesus comes back, and up to that point, whether we're still living or we have passed away, and of course the vast majority of people will be what? Passed away, because we have at least 2,000 years of church history, okay? All of those people will be resurrected, and we who alive are will be alive at the time will be caught up and we'll meet the Lord in the air, okay? Not at this time. We're going to talk about them in a minute, but not at that time. This is just the church. Christ is coming for his bride, okay? That's a good question, but I'm not blowing you off. We will answer that.
And you said
2 Thessalonians? 1 Thessalonians, I'm sorry. Did I say 2 Thessalonians? I meant 1st. Okay? Jesus will come to earth's atmosphere. It says, "We will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." Okay? So Jesus doesn't actually step on earth during the rapture. Okay? We meet him in the air. Okay? And 2 Thessalonians, now we're in 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 1, "He will return for his bride. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus and by our gathering together unto him." All right? So he's going to return for his bride. And the other great passage, of course, 1 Thessalonians 4, the other passage that speaks about the rapture is 1 Corinthians 15. And in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, and the first part of 52, the Bible says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump." So when he returns for us, it will happen quickly. And it will happen secretly. What do we mean by that? No one's going to know when it's going to happen. It's gonna happen very quickly, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And that's not even how fast you blink your eye, but that twinkling of an eye, it's how fast light reflects off your eye. And you know when, like, Heather and Ryan first met, and Dana and Matt, and they had that twinkle in their eye, you know, that quickly, you know, and it will happen that quickly. And it will be secretly. The world, of course, will recognize maybe that people are gone, but they're not going to be part of this, okay? And then the rapture will be signaled by a trumpet blast. It says in verse 52, the latter part, it says, "For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." So what's going to happen is the dead, the trumpet will sound, the Lord will come, the archangel will shout, and we'll be raptured up. Okay? So that's the rapture. But his second coming, okay, his second coming is called the revelation. Go back to 2 Thessalonians. And then 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. The Bible says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." So the only people that are going to know the rapture happens is the church. But the whole world will know when Jesus comes the second time, okay? Because Jesus will be revealed. And he will reveal himself to the whole world. He will arrive at the Mount of Olives. Now, you'll remember Matthew 28 and the end of all the Gospels, as well as Acts chapter 1. Where were the disciples when Jesus left the earth? What? Well, no, when he left the earth. After the... They were with him on the Mount of Olives, okay? He left from there. And remember in Acts chapter 1, all the disciples are looking, and they couldn't see him. And the angel says, "Why stand ye here gazing? This same Jesus who was taken from you shall come in like manner." So he's going to return to the same exact place he left. Zechariah, it's the next to the last Old Testament book. Zechariah chapter 14, in verse 4, the Bible says, "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east, toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half the mountain shall remove toward the north and half toward the south." So when Sandy and I had the privilege of being in Israel and being in Jerusalem, when you stand on the Mount of Olives, you can see all of Jerusalem, okay? And in particular, where the Mount of Olives is, the eastern gate is there. And that's where Jesus will come through. He will return the same place he left, okay? And he will come with his bride. Revelation 19, we won't turn there, but Revelation 19 talks about his coming. He's on a white horse, right? And he has it says his bride has made herself ready. That's us. And we're all dressed in fine white linen. Yesterday we were at a wedding. We were at Nick and Danielle's wedding. And of course, not too long ago, Heather and Ryan were married, and Dana and Matt. And, you know, here comes the bride, all dressed in white, you know, and down the aisle they come. And all prepared for the day, you know. Brides spend all morning, maybe even the night before, getting ready and, you know, getting their hair done and their nails done and all this stuff. And will be clean and white, but the Bible says that's the righteousness of the saints. Who gives us our righteousness? Jesus, okay? So Revelation 19, when he comes the second time, because remember, we've already been raptured. We're in heaven. We have our glorified bodies. Jesus said in John 14 that when he's building mansions for us, and when they're ready, he'll come for us so that we will ever be with the Lord. So as a bride and a groom, wherever the groom goes, the bride goes. So if the Lord leaves heaven and comes to earth, guess what we're doing? Coming to earth with him. Okay. We'll talk more about this in the lessons ahead, but we're coming back to earth with our glorified bodies, so that will be a day. Okay. But his second coming will take place suddenly, openly, and spectacularly. Look at Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse 26. Now, Jesus is talking about, you know, the end times here, and he says, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is here in the desert, who do they mean? Christ. There will be a lot of false Christ during that time, deceiving people. The ultimate false Christ will, of course, be, we learned about him already, the Antichrist. So Jesus says, if they say, behold, he's here in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it or not. For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Okay? So what is Matthew telling us here? When Jesus comes the second time, everybody's going to know. Think about lightning. You know, lightning can be seen. Did any of you see the mysterious lights in the sky last night? It was the shuttle that took off, but anyway, some kind of space thing that took off. But yeah, they said the news this morning said it was something that took off from down in Florida. No, this was like a thing with a tail on it. It was yeah. So anyway, so it's going to be seen. Jesus is coming. Everybody will know. Okay. Everybody will know. His second coming will be attended with natural devastation and distress to the nations. Look at verse 29, same chapter. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of heaven shall be shaken, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, then shall, how many of the tribes? All the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Okay? So his second coming will be attended with natural devastation and distresses to the nations. So we don't have to worry about this, but people alive during the tribulation time, if someone says to them, look, Christ is over here. Come on, let's go meet in secret with him. Don't believe. Because the next time he comes, everybody's going to know. Okay? All right? So that is his return, the rapture, compared to the second coming. Any questions? All right, number two. What about facts? What about the time? We just looked at it. What does verse 29 say? Immediately after the tribulation, right? When will Jesus come the second time? After the tribulation, okay? So there'll come a tribulation time, then Jesus will come. So that's why we believe, you know, just what the Bible says. What does immediately mean? Right away. So when the tribulation is done, Jesus will come, okay? Immediately after. So he's not going to come until the tribulation comes. Okay? And once the tribulation is over, Jesus will come. We saw the attending phenomena. We saw how you know, the sun is going to be. And we saw all of this during our study of the tribulation, right? There'll be, the sun will be darkened, the moon will be darkened, and the stars will fall. And we see all of this predicted by Jesus. And then in verse 30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven, notice carefully, with power and great glory. Now, the Lord will come personally, boldly, openly, and gloriously. The last time the world, now I'm talking about the world, not his disciples, but the last time the world saw Jesus, he was dead on the cross, right? They saw him die. They saw the soldier stab him in the side. They saw the people take him away and lay him in a tomb. Okay, there were a couple of guards that saw the resurrected Jesus, you know, and the angel. But the world we're talking about. And yes, we know that his disciples saw him for 40 days. And we're told in 1 Corinthians 15 that 500 people saw Jesus. But the world as a whole, the last time they saw Jesus, he was dead. The next time they see Jesus, he will come in great power. The first time Jesus came to what? Die for our sins. The second time he's coming to reign. The first time he came, the day we call Palm Sunday, which is very significant, he presented himself as Israel's king. He came riding on what? A donkey, okay? And they were laying palm trees in front of him. He came on a peace mission. In those days, when a king came on a donkey, he came in peace, okay? And what was the peace he was bringing? Reconciliation to God, okay? The next time the world sees Jesus, Revelation 19, he will come on a white horse. When a king rode to town on a horse, he was coming to conquer, okay? Armies have horses, and so very significant what he rides. He rides a donkey first time, he rides a horse the second time. He's coming as the conquering king. He's coming, of course, we'll look at this more next week, but the Battle of Armageddon, he comes to defeat all his enemies and to rescue Israel, okay? And who is going to be there with him, okay? Angels will be there, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So his angels are coming as well. So an army is coming with the Lord. He's leading an army. His bride, that's us, okay? Colossians 3:4. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear, what's it say? With him in glory. So we're coming back with Jesus in his glory, in his revelation. Okay? To answer Ryan's question, who else is coming? The Old Testament saints. Okay, look at Luke 13. Luke chapter 13, verse 28 and 29. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and yourselves thrust out, and they shall come from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south, and shall sit down in the, what? Kingdom. Okay? So when Christ comes to set up his kingdom, the Old Testament saints will come. They'll already be resurrected. Now, the question is asked, when are they resurrected? Okay? It's a good question. Some believe. Remember when Jesus rose from the grave, it said some of the other graves opened up after his, and people saw the saints walking around. Some believe they might have been resurrected then. Okay? And others believe at the time of Jesus' second coming, they'll be resurrected. Okay? We can't be dogmatic on the time of their resurrection, but they do have a resurrected body when the kingdom comes, because who's there? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the prophets, you know, and the people of God, okay? So, didn't really answer your question, but it kind of answered your question. But their resurrection does not happen when ours does, because he's coming back for his bride, which is the church. The Old Testament saints aren't his bride. Okay? But this next one might clear it up a little bit more, and I'll tell you in a moment my opinion, which doesn't mean anything. Revelation chapter 20, who will also be there? The martyrs of the tribulation period. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and the word of God, they which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, remember all the way back to the beginning of our study. What book did we start this study of eschatology with? Daniel, right? And Daniel calls the tribulation period what? The 70th week. Remember Jeremiah said 70 weeks? So between the 69th week when Messiah was cut off and the 70th week when the tribulation starts, we have this period of time called the church age, where you and I are living. During this church age, God is calling out for himself a bride. And when he is done with that, what will happen? He'll turn his attention back to Israel. And those people who die during the tribulation period are very similar to the Old Testament saints. They're not the bride, right? They're not the bride. They're saved, just like Old Testament, but they're not the bride of Christ. So my belief is at the end of the tribulation period, when Jesus comes back to set up his kingdom, that's when the Old Testament saints and the tribulation people who died will receive their glorified body when they come back. Okay? So during that time, that's my opinion. Okay? That's my opinion as to the timing. I believe with all my heart they're going to have a resurrected body. You know, the Bible says that. People, they're sitting here. All these people who didn't worship the beast are alive, and they're reigning with Christ 1,000 years. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the prophets, they're alive in the kingdom. So they're definitely going to have a resurrected body. When exactly their resurrection is, you know, we can't be dogmatic on. Okay? All right? Did that answer you? Okay. Point number three. Last point this morning. What's the purpose of Jesus' second coming to earth? Why is he coming? Why is Jesus coming back? Well, first off, there's a whole bunch of prophecies that say he's going to come back, but the purpose of his second coming to earth is to complete his messianic work. It will be to finish his messianic work. When he came the first time, it was to die for our sins, right? But there's work to be completed. Revelation 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell on their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, and they shall be judged, and that they should give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and thou shouldest destroy them that destroy the earth. So the Lord is coming back as the ruler of the earth to take care of his enemies, okay? Of course, he took care of sin the first time he came. Now, the second time he comes, he's going to come and destroy his enemies, and he's also going to destroy death. He has to deal with the devil yet, right? The devil received a defeating death blow when Jesus rose from the grave, the fulfilling of Genesis 3:15. But the devil is defeated, but he's still running. Or the war is not quite over yet, right? He's defeated, and we can have victory over him, but he's going around causing all the damage he can until this time comes in Revelation 19. Of course, in verse 17, he comes. It says, "And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings." Now, this is terrible. This is gross, but this is what's going to happen. "That ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast," okay, the Antichrist, "and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army." So ultimately, who is the Antichrist coming to fight against? Christ. All right? "And the beast was taken with him, and the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped him his image. And both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh." So Jesus will simply speak a word. Just as he spoke the world into creation, he will speak a word and all of his enemies will be defeated. Verse 1 of chapter 20, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. That when he's called the old serpent, that reminds us of Genesis chapter 3. "And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set up a seal, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. After that, he must be loosed a little season." We'll talk about why he's released in a later message. But one of the reasons he is coming back is to deal with the devil. Okay? And he's going to defeat all his enemies, and he's going to defeat the devil, and he's going to deliver his people from their enemies and bless them. And who is God's people? Of course, the Jewish people. And Daniel chapter 12, the last chapter of Daniel, in chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, the Bible says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake." Okay? So here, Ryan, here is again, you know, when that might happen, you know, the resurrection of the Old Testament saints. "Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." So he's coming to bless his people and curse his enemy. On the back page, number 3, his establishing as the second Adam, doing what Adam failed to do, the earthly millennial kingdom of prophecy, and ruling for 1,000 years for God's glory until every enemy, including death, is wholly subdued. Now think about this for a moment. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, those references there, calls Jesus the second Adam, right? Why is he the second Adam? Well, the first Adam, when God created him, he created him to have what? Power over all the earth, authority over all the earth, to subdue all the earth. Did Adam... this is not a trick question, but think real hard. Did Adam have the authority to defeat Satan? All he had to do was what? Obey God, right? So, yes, Adam did have the authority. Remember, he was to guard and keep the garden, right? Guard it from who? Well, we know now, Satan. So Jesus comes to rule and reign, all the enemies are defeated, and Satan is what? Bound and thrown into the
bottomless pit. So Jesus, as the second Adam, will do what the first Adam couldn't do. He will have authority over all the earth. He will rule the earth. He will subdue the earth. And he binds Satan. Okay? So there will be no satanic deception during the millennial kingdom. We'll talk about that later. Matt. I do believe they're in heaven. Because in chapter 3, God covered their sin. You know, an animal died. You know, Eve was looking for that Messiah. I got a man from the Lord. I do believe, you know. Yes, they lost paradise. But, you know, they then had to go through life and die. But I do believe they're, that's, again, that's Dan Boyce's opinion. Okay? But I believe they're in heaven. Okay? And these references here, 1 Corinthians 15, that's where Jesus is called the second Adam. And Hebrews there, he will defeat death, okay? And he will all he achieved during his first advent, the first time he came, especially by his death, resurrection, and ascension, will be the basis of his atoning work in the second advent. So he came the first time to save people. And based upon that salvation and that making us righteous will be the foundation upon which his second advent will be established. Because as we're going to see, when the millennial kingdom starts, all the world will be believers. And we'll see that. Look at Hebrews. We'll close with these verses. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15 says, "For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Okay? Who causes us to fear death according to this verse? The devil. Okay? He causes us to fear death. And he had this power over people. But Jesus came to deliver them who through fear of death were subject to all this bondage. I don't care what anybody says. People may brag, "Oh, I don't fear death." If you're an unbeliever, you fear death. Okay? You might not outwardly show it, but you fear death. That's Bible fact, because you don't know what's going to happen. But as a believer, what does the Lord do for us when he saves us? He takes the fear of death away from us. Now remember, we talked about this many times. There's a difference between death and dying. You might say, "Wait, Pastor, that doesn't make any sense." Okay? When we're talking about death, we're talking about separation from God, right? And to be spiritually dead is to be separated from God. When I die, if I die unsaved, I'm separated from God, and I spend eternity separated from God in hell, okay? But the Lord Jesus came and reconciled you and me together with God, so that now we know that when we die, we won't experience death, because we have eternal what? Life. So I may physically die, but I will not experience death. Jesus experienced my death on the cross for me. Okay? Now, the dying process is not pleasant. I'm not saying people don't fear dying. We don't fear dying. I mean, there's certain ways I don't want to die. I don't want to drown. I don't want to be burned in a fire. I don't want to fall from a high building, you know, and think about, you know. You ever dream that you're falling? You know, but we don't fear death, because we know as soon as we breathe our last breath here, our next breath is in heaven. Just think about that. Breathe. Breathe out. You're dead. Breathe in. You're in heaven. That quickly it happens. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Okay? So death holds no fear over us. Okay? Now, again, dying, you know, we might, I don't want to, you know, see a big Mack truck coming at me and know that, you know, there's the, but we don't have to fear death. But the unsaved people, they fear death. Martha? To heaven, to be with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Our bodies aren't saved yet. That happens at the rapture. But our spirit goes to be with the Lord. Okay? Yep. What does tribulation mean? Trouble, you know. But the tribulation period is that seven-year period when all the judgment of God comes. Okay? And one more verse, Hebrews 9:28 says, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." So the first time he came to die for our sin, the second time he comes to conquer the world. Okay? Next week, we will look at the events related to Jesus' second coming to earth.